This morning in Bible study, I want to do a little partner tape for my partners and share some scripture that the Lord revealed to me recently, and I think that it will minister to a lot of you. There have been a lot of deaths around me lately. A lady in our church died. The husband of a good friend of mine died. And there's just been a lot of death. And so I want to talk to you about the valley of the shadow of death. And you say, well, this doesn't sound very exciting, but it will be exciting before we finish. So if you have your Bible, open it to Isaiah 9, verse 2. It says this, Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. I always thought of that in light of spiritual darkness and spiritual death and Jesus coming as the light. And it certainly has that interpretation. But death causes a shadow in our life. Now, death is not the only thing that causes a shadow in our life. But when death comes, there's a definite shadow. And notice that this verse refers to those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death. All of us pass through the valley at some time in our life. Every one of us passed through valleys in our life, even dangerous valleys. You could say of the valley of the shadow of death that it was a place of danger. And so we all pass through those times, but many people never make it out of the valley. They get in that valley and they just can't get out. They spend their entire life in the land of the shadow of death. They build their house there. Don't ever build a house in a furnace. Don't ever build a house in the valley of the shadow of death. We're supposed to pass through those things, not stay there. And then they wonder, why am I depressed? Why am I unhappy? Well, it's because we were not created to live in the valley of the shadow of death. We were created to live in a state of life and joy. That's what God meant for our lives, every one of us. He means for us to walk in the joy of the Lord. So today, I want to discuss with you what the Bible says about getting out of the land of the shadow of death and back into the place where we should be, into our homeland of the peace of God. I think of the book of Ruth. I think about Naomi and Ruth because she's a really good example. Naomi left her homeland with her husband and her sons. They left their homeland because there was a famine. Something happened that pushed them toward a place of death, because Moab was a place of death. Moab was a place of idol worship. It was not the chosen land of God. It was not the promised land. And they moved there, and while she was there, she lost everything. She lost her husband. She lost both of her sons. So Naomi could certainly identify with the land of the shadow of death. But she didn't stay there. She did not stay there. She heard. She heard something. She heard that there was food back at home where she had left. And so she packed up and she started home. And we know the story that one of her daughter-in-laws went with her. Ruth went with her. And Orpha did not go with her. Now, things weren't great when they first got back home. And it takes a little time to get out of the valley of the shadow of death. Things aren't always great as we start to walk toward the sunlight. But things will get better. With Ruth and Naomi, there was a time of adjustment. She had to learn how to live as a widow where she had been a wife before. There was a change. There was a time of transition in her life. But in the end, her life turned out quite well. And they both found a place of healing and restoration, and that's God's intention for us also. When you go through, and I'll probably say this 4 or 5 times because this is a point I really want to get across. When you go through loss, whether it's a death, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a financial loss, when you go through any loss that plunges you into a time of darkness and a valley of the shadow of death, as you come out, there will have to be some changes made usually. And it's not change that's difficult, it's transition. It's transitioning from one place. You know, if you lose your mate, you have to go from being a wife to being a widow. And it's a transition. It's a difficult transition. You have to learn to live with the loss, and you have to learn to find the place of happiness and peace that God has for you. So I want to stop for just a minute and think about the shadow. What is casting a shadow in your life? It's not just death. Storms bring clouds. When storms come into our life, they bring clouds. Of course, death brings shadows. Illness brings shadows. When we battle through illness, when I battle through cancer in my life, there were times of darkness that I had to battle through. And Nancy could identify with that. And all of us could identify. Linda could certainly identify with that because we've all battled through cancer, but we're not in cancer anymore. We're not even survivors. We're overcomers. We're overcomers. We came through it. And then, of course, any kind of loss, financial loss, emotional loss, friendship loss, relationship loss, disappointments bring shadows into our life. When I was studying this, the Lord took me to Psalms 23, the 23rd Psalm. Psalms 23:4 talks about the valley of the shadow of death. It says, "Yes, though I walk through the valley, through the deep sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no or dread no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? And I read that verse, and then I thought, you know, really, the whole 23rd Psalm gives us instruction for getting through the valley of the shadow of death. So I want to look at that Psalm this morning a little bit. Let's go there in your Bible. Go to Psalms 23, because it has a great message for those who are experiencing the shadow of death in their life. Look at verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That's what New King James says. Listen to what the Living Bible says. "The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need." Now, when you have suffered great loss, you don't feel like you have everything that you need. You feel like you've lost something that you can never get back, and you need that something that you lost. You don't really realize that it is Jesus that you need, and He really is all that you need. Because nothing in the world can comfort you when you have gone through great loss. Nothing. Nobody can comfort you. Nell and I, my friend who lost her husband, were talking about how people try to comfort you, and they say all the wrong things. They keep saying, "How are you doing?" "Well, how do you think I'm doing? I've just lost the love of my life, and everything in my life is turning over, and everything is in upheaval. How do you think I'm doing?" That's not a good question to ask. People don't know how to comfort. And you know, most of the time, all people need from you, because it's Jesus they need. Jesus is all they need. All they need from you is just be there. Just know you're there. Just be there to be by their side when they cry, to hold them, to comfort them as best you can. But don't ever ask them how they're doing. And it's so hard not to ask them how they're doing. It's just really difficult because that's a natural question that wants to come out of your mouth when somebody has gone through a great loss. "How you doing?" "Horrible." Well, that's not a good confession, but it's the truth. So don't ask that question. And realize nobody can comfort you. And nothing will ever take the place of your loss. My friend Tommy Sutherland, years ago, lost 2 sons in 2 years. Wouldn't that be horrible? You know, children are not supposed to die before their parents. She lost 2 sons tragically, both of them tragically, in 2 years. And she was so devastated after the death of the second son that she just almost became catatonic. People from her church called me and said, "Can you come up here?" She lived in Arkansas. "Can you come up here? We can't even get Tata to get up off of the chair on her porch. She's just sitting there looking into space." And I went up and I just sat by her. Didn't even try to talk to her. I just sat by her, and we cried together. But later, she told me this. She said she was praying, and she was talking to the Lord about her boys. And the Lord reminded her of something. The Lord said to her, "Do you remember when your boys were very young? And they were just a couple years apart. Do you remember when you were getting dressed on Sunday morning, and you would send them into their room to get their shoes? And they would go to their room to find their shoes. And they wouldn't come back. And you'd go to look for them. And they would be sitting in the floor playing with the toy that they found in the closet while they were looking for their shoes." And he said, "Now, you need to understand you're not going to find your boys again on the earth. They're not here anymore. They're in heaven. But I have something else for you. And I have something that will never take the place of your boys. But it will help fill the hole that's left in you because of the loss of your boys." And she had a great ministry in the years before her death after that, because she stopped trying to focus on why did God allow this to happen and where are my boys and I want my boys back. And she began to change her focus and allow the Lord to transition her to another place in her life where she could find contentment. And sometimes that's, you know, if you go through the loss of a business, you don't ever get that business back. That doesn't mean you won't have another business, but you're not going to get that business back. So one of the keys to getting through the valley is quit trying to get back what you've lost and realize that things are going to change and things are going to be different, but not necessarily bad. And Jesus is all you need. The Lord is your shepherd. What is a shepherd? Well, you just got to realize that Jesus, as your shepherd, he's already looked ahead and he's made a provision for you. That's what a shepherd does. A shepherd makes provision for the sheep. A shepherd takes care of the sheep. So whatever you're going through right now, whatever you've been through in the last months, understand that he knows about it. He understands how you feel. He understands if you're angry. He understands if you're disappointed. And he's already looked ahead and made a provision for you. And realize that he will get you through this valley and through the transition that you're facing in your life. Another mother that lost a son was Daisy Osborne. Daisy and T.L. Osborne, they were great, great, great missionaries, did a great work for God, and her son died. And after the death of her son, she said she just was worthless. And the Lord spoke to her and said, Daisy, until you let go of the past, you don't have a future. And so whatever the past is, however painful the transition is, you've got to let go and allow Jesus to lead you into the next phase of your life. Just the confession, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need, is the beginning of the dawning of the light at the end of the valley. Just to say that. Let's say that together. Say, Jesus is my shepherd.
Jesus is my shepherd.
I have all that I need.
I have all that I need.
That the word here is new. That's a word that you need to write down and circle. New. Because after great loss, you can't go back. You cannot go back. You cannot go back. If there's anything I want to emphasize to you is you can't go back. You know, when you go through a divorce, when you go through a really painful divorce, so many people think, if I could just go back, well, you can't go back. You can't undo. You can't unscramble eggs. Once they're scrambled, they're scrambled. And so you've got to go forward. Once you make a horrible mistake in your life, I think of people who in a moment's time have made a stupid decision that affected the rest of their life, and they feel like, well, my life is over. No, your life is not over. But you can't go back. You can't undo it. So what do you have to do? You have to confess, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. And the Lord has looked ahead already and made provision for me. He's going to get me through this, and there's life on the other side of this loss. You've got to know that's true. You have to move forward. You have to understand that everything in your life is changing, but Jesus will always remain the same. He must be the stability of this time in your life. Isaiah 33, verse 6 says, there shall be stability in your times and an abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge, and the reverent fear and worship of the Lord will be your treasure. He is our good treasure. He is our good shepherd. He will stabilize you during this time. You need to be stabilized, and he will stabilize you during this time. Let's think about Naomi once again. In Ruth 1:6, it says, when Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughter-in-law prepared to return home from there. So when she heard something, and she began to prepare. Well, this morning you're hearing something. If you've not heard encouragement before, you've heard this CD, this teaching, you're hearing encouragement now. So begin to prepare. Get ready to come out of the valley. Get ready to come into the sunshine. Another person that I think of when I think about this is the woman with the issue of blood. Think about that woman. Boy, talk about a woman who had endured a lot of things. That woman had been sick for a very long time. And she just didn't hear anything good from any doctor. She'd been to many doctors and she didn't get any better. Think about that. It was just getting worse and worse. But she heard. Mark 5:28 said, she heard about Jesus and she said, If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Every report to that time, to the time that she heard about Jesus, every report was negative. But somebody said, have you heard about that new prophet that's going around town? I heard that he healed a blind man. I even heard there was a widow and her son was dead and they were walking out of town and they ran into him and he raised that boy from the dead. And he wasn't the only one. I've heard of at least two people he raised from the dead. And she said, oh, if I could get to him, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Now, she had heard of Jesus, and once she heard of Jesus, she changed her thinking. Now, that's the beginning. You got to change the way you think. Stop thinking there's no hope. Stop thinking things can't change. Stop thinking that your future you'll never be happy again. Things will never be good for me again. Stop that. She changed her thinking, and when she changed her thinking, it affected her speaking. It affected her speech. It changed what she was saying. Instead of saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't think of another doctor I could go to. I've been to every doctor I know. They're all saying there's no hope for me. I'm not getting any better. I'm a curse. I can't leave the house. I just don't know that I can go on like this. It changed the way she talked. She stopped talking like that. She started talking about, I'm going to find out where Jesus is. I'm going to find out where he is, and I'm going to touch him. And when I touch him, I'm going to be healed. It affected her speech, and that propelled her into action. And see, that's what happens to us. If we'll change the way we're thinking, if we'll begin to think according to the Word of God, if we'll begin to embrace that Jesus is our shepherd and that he has the solution, it will affect our thinking, which will affect our speech, which will propel us into action. And she began to walk out of her valley. She found him. She touched him. She was healed. So begin to confess. I'm coming out of the land of the shadow of death. I'm going to walk back into the light of life. There will be light in my life again. There will be joy in my life again. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Look at verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The greatest need when we suffer a loss that plunges us into the valley of the shadow of death is that we need restoration in our soul. It's your soul that suffers when you suffer loss. And we need to rest. You know, there's something that happens. There's a stress that comes in many times leading up to the death. There's a caretaker period of time where the person is so exhausted when the death finally comes that they're just exhausted. But any kind of stress in your life makes you tired. That's what happens when you go through loss. You feel an exhaustion. You need rest to your soul, and you need restoration spiritually and emotionally. And you know that's what the great shepherd knows. The good shepherd knows the greatest need when you are suffering loss is to restore your soul and to rest. So he makes you lie down. He makes me lie down. Exhaustion is a companion of grief. You notice that people that are grieving, all they want to do is sleep. Just lock me in my room. I don't want to come out. It's a companion of grief. That exhaustion and grief will cloud your thinking. And often it opens the door for the enemy to bring depression. So you can't just lie down anywhere. You have to let the Lord lead you to green pastures with still waters. Now, if you happen to be a sheep, then still waters, green pastures and still waters to that sheep is paradise. There's nothing better to a sheep than green pastures and still waters. When the first verse said, the Lord's my shepherd, I have everything that I need, that sheep, it really meant that when he looked around at the green pastures and the still water, the Lord is making me lie down. And, you know, to us, the spiritual food, the green grass we need during times of difficulty and loss is the Word of God. And here's another thing. Sheep will not drink from rushing water. Did you know that? So he has to find still waters for them to drink. And you know what? We are not either going to be able to just drink from the rushing of life. We have to get still before the Lord, and we have to drink from the Holy Spirit. You need rest, you need the nourishment of the Word of God, and you need the refreshing water of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit in John 7, 38 and 39, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified." It's the water of the Spirit that will refresh your soul. If you are sometimes you're so depressed that you just can't get in the Word, or you can't concentrate on the Word, but you can put on worship music and begin to worship. And that will lead you to that still water, which will give you the ability to read the Psalms. He restores my soul. He restores my mind. He restores my emotion. Only God can restore you to a calm mind and emotion. It's when we draw apart, not to ourselves in depression, but to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God, and we begin to rest in Him, that He's able to bring restoration to your soul. Once you are strengthened, once you have calmed down, once you have rest in your soul, then you will be able to hear. You will be able to hear that new direction being spoken by the Spirit of God. He leads me. He leads me by the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He has a plan for your life. He's going to lead you to the new landing place. He's going to lead you to a new place of righteousness, that right path. There's a right path for each of us. And often great loss, we find it very difficult during great loss to find that path. I will rest physically and spiritually. I will listen for the voice of God as I feed on the Word and drink of the Spirit. That should be your next confession. I will rest physically and spiritually. I will listen for the voice of God as I feed on the Word and drink of the Spirit. And yes, here's verse 4. Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me, your rod to protect, and your staff to guide, they comfort me. For me, the key word in that verse is through. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop in the valley of the shadow of death. Keep moving. A great secret to overcoming the shadow of death is realizing that you still have a future. It will be different, but it will be good. So here's the progression of comfort from the Holy Spirit. I will not fear. That's your profession of faith. I don't fear the future. I refuse to fear the future. I acknowledge the presence of God in my life. God has not left me. He is still with me. I acknowledge my confidence in God's care for me. I acknowledge that. And finally, I acknowledge God's guidance in my life. From the Spirit-filled Bible, the word comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That word comfort. To comfort means to comfort, to console, to extend compassion, to sigh with one who is grieving, to repent. It originally may have meant to breathe intensely because of deep emotion. In its sense of comfort, it does not describe casual sympathy, but very deep empathy. It's like weeping with those who weep or sighing with those who sigh. I think of Lazarus. Think of Lazarus. When Jesus came to the tomb, do you think Jesus knew what he was about to do? Of course he did. He knew he was fixing to call him out of the tomb. Well, you'd have thought he would have been kind of snickering because everybody else was crying, but he wasn't. He was moved with compassion because death had brought a shadow. Martha and Mary and all their friends were in the valley of the shadow of death. And Jesus was moved with compassion and he wept. But he didn't just weep. When he got through weeping, he looked up. He said, "Move that stone out of the way." And he called forth Lazarus out of the grave, didn't he? In your life, there's resurrection after death. Maybe the person that went to heaven is not going to be resurrected, but you're going to be resurrected. You're going to be resurrected to new life, to new energy, to new direction. God wants to comfort you, but you have to be willing to be comforted. That's an interesting thought. You have to be willing to be comforted. Here's an interesting verse. My pastor's wife mentioned this verse during our prayer time as a staff a few weeks ago, and I thought that may be one of the most interesting verses, and it really fits into this teaching. Isaiah 44, verse 20. Now, this is talking about idolatry. It says, that kind of man feeds on ashes and finds his satisfaction in ashes, is what the Amplified Bible says. A deluded mind has led him astray, so that he cannot release and save himself or ask, is not this thing I'm holding in my right hand a lie? Now, feeding on ashes seems foolish, and certainly ashes wouldn't taste good, would it? If something is burnt to ashes, I don't want to eat it, do you? But when we fail to move beyond the valley of the shadow of death, in essence, that's what we're doing. In the case of this verse, it was speaking of idols. But there are people who never move beyond their pain. And all they view in life, they view through that pain, giving them a distorted view of their entire life. They are hanging on to the ashes. They're refusing to let go of the pain so that they can move on. That's not God's will for you. Listen to Isaiah 61:3 in the Amplified Bible. Jesus came to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning. And you know, remember what joy is? It's the ability to look beyond your circumstances to the promise. So if it's the oil or the anointing of joy, that means in the middle of this turmoil, in the middle of this pain, I'm going to lift my eyes and I'm going to look beyond to the promise of God. And that's what he'll give you instead of mourning. The garment of praise instead of heaviness, burdened in a failing spirit. So that we may be called the oaks of righteousness, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God. The planting of the Lord, and he will be glorified. Are you holding on to the ashes of the past? Are you stuck in the valley of the shadow of death? Well, today allow God to exchange your ashes for beauty. He wants to exchange the ashes in your life for beauty and for praise. And when that happens, you will be able to read the next verse I'm going to share with you, and you will be able to exercise it. Isaiah 60, verse 1 from the Amplified Bible. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Arise to a new life and shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, darkness may cover the earth, and dense darkness all the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen in you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. God still has a plan for your life. Get up. Don't allow grief and depression to hold you down, and shine. And if you jump down to verse 20 of Isaiah 60, I mentioned to the girls in this room with me that I read that whole chapter to get it in context. And when I got down to verse 20, I was so surprised at what it said. Listen to what verse 20 says. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. That's God's promise to you. Jesus is here this morning, or right now, wherever you may be listening to this, to minister to you. Remember the words of Jesus in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Is that you? He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to claim the acceptable year of the Lord. So let's ask the Lord, Father, comfort our hearts. Give us new direction and revelation. Heal us of our pains and open our eyes to the brightness of your presence. Father, turn our mourning into dancing. Cause us to release the ashes of the past and to look forward with hope and expectation to a bright future, for we know the Lord is our shepherd. We have everything that we need. We're coming out of the valley. We're coming into the glory. And we thank you, Father, for bringing us out. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe somebody who listens to this who's not born again, we want to give you an opportunity to receive the Lord as your shepherd. So pray with us right now. Pray after me. Oh, God. I know without Jesus, I'm lost. Without Jesus, I would die and go to hell. But I don't want to be lost. I believe Jesus is the Christ. I believe he died for me. I believe he rose again and is alive today, the Lord of heaven and earth. I invite you, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior, and from this day forward, I will serve you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you need to get in a good church, be baptized in water immediately, read your Bible, and pray every day.